All right. This is Mr. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And we have a very special treat for you today, for you listeners, for you fiends out there in Phenotopia or Phenistan for our East and West Coast listeners. We have some special fill-in guests, our neighbors from the north, because Nima is out on paternity leave today. He's actually, his kid hasn't come yet. I talked to him this morning, but it's his anniversary, and his wife is about 9 months and 2 days pregnant. So he's taken the day off to be on availability to take her in if need be, and to celebrate their anniversary, their third or fourth. I should know this. I think it's third. Maybe it's fourth anniversary. So our guests today, our guest co-hosts, the first in a series of Sundays, of 2 months of Sundays, of Nima Vedati taking off to spend some time with his new baby, because those are the times that are most important, are the first few weeks and months. He's going to still be here on Saturdays, but we have Ed and Ethan of the Ed and Ethan podcast. How are you doing there, Ed and Ethan?
Doing okay, Michael. Hey,
you guys have enough of a Canadian accent without accentuating it.
We don't have to ham it up. So that was Ed, and this is of course Ethan. We broadcast from a government subsidized bunker with all of the amenities that your evil capitalist country could never possibly provide. So that's where we stand.
Yeah, and we will give this out again, but it's the Ed and Ethan podcast, which is edandethan.com. I don't know how you guys get away with having a .com extension on a Canadian website, but basically we have them on today because they're great and they're funny and they're smart. But we do want to show that liberty is the same everywhere and tyranny is the same everywhere. So Ed and Ethan, who I call the Terrence and Philip of liberty after the South Park comedians, tell me, how is your glorious government-sponsored healthcare working out there for you?
Well, I don't know if it's working out. Ed, do you think it's working out?
If you want to wait, I guess.
Right. Well, I'll tell you how it does work out, Michael, is first you go to try to access the system. Then you wait around for a while. Then you potentially die as you're waiting. And then if you haven't died as you're waiting, you do get access to perhaps a nurse, then a doctor, and then somebody will tell you, look, I don't have enough time for you, you got to leave. And so, but we do have access to that, so that's nice. It's something.
So everybody gets the opportunity to speak to a nurse to see if you can talk to a doctor, and then probably not to talk to a doctor until it's too late, and then you die. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I really wish we could say that was an exaggeration, but it has happened up here a few times where people have died in waiting rooms because they haven't had access to medical treatment. And it's ridiculous.
And in some places in Canada, access to a family doctor, which they are essentially the gateway to specialists, people are on a year waiting list to get access to a family doctor.
People have died in waiting rooms in America. And I've heard that used as an example of why we need something like Obamacare.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to praise the American system as it stands, right? We both have a lot of problems. But when it comes to the Canadian healthcare system, certainly single payer in terms of general outcomes, in terms of service provision, I don't think has really given anybody a leg up. I mean, we have a lot of problems up here with our system.
We are in the great club of North Korea and Cuba in being the only three countries in the world to have a single payer system.
Well, at least we have somebody.
Yeah. So it is illegal for you to purchase healthcare outside of the system.
In England, rich people can get their own healthcare?
Yep.
Yeah.
Rich people in Canada here just go to the States.
Actually, it's funny because
serious.
Or India.
Politicians, right. Yeah. Even politicians go outside of our system. They get bumped to the front of the line, because they they know people.
They know people.
Well, actually, I remember when I was younger and living in the province of Manitoba, the leader of the Liberal Party there, the provincial Liberal Party, and by the way, liberal in Canada doesn't necessarily mean liberal it does in the States.
It would mean socialist, essentially.
Well, that's what it means here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, they're kind of the moderate, middle of the road party is the Liberal Party here in Canada.
That's right.
But no, I guess the Liberal Party leader, John Girard, He had basically, if you knew him, because he was a doctor, he was a leader of one of the parties in the provincial legislature. You know, if you knew him, you could get bumped to the front of the line if you just, you know, because he knew who to talk to. He was a politician. He had sway and swagger, even though he looked like he was 800 years old. But, you know, I mean, he had connections.
Don't you have something there called the Conservative Progressive Party or something like that?
We have the Conservative Party of Canada, which is our federal governing party at the moment. They used to be called the Progressive Conservative Party.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, they were the Progressive Party and the Social Credit Party and the Conservative Party all separated. It was good fun. We
okay,
liked
so those are your Republicans, right, basically?
Basically,
who
yeah.
Are your, who are your Democrats? Labor?
Well, no, they're called the New Democratic Party of Canada.
That sounds new. That sounds new.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been new for decades. It's beautiful how socialism can do that. Keep the sheen.
That's kind of like new classic Coke or something. So you guys, you have a left-right paradigm there. Do most people buy the lie that there's a difference in how much tyranny they give you?
Oh, sure.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. You have no clue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, our prime minister, the guy who is the leader of the Conservative Party in Canada, he's painted very negatively by typically people on the left who say, you know, this is Harper's tyranny in Canada. We are
ruled I don't know what Harper is.
Well, Harper is, as I said, Stephen Harper is the leader of the Conservative Party mm-hmm. of Canada. Now, the leader of the party that is elected to govern Canada is installed typically as the prime minister. And so he is the president equivalent.
Yeah.
Isn't your prime minister married to Mick Jagger's wife or something?
I wish that were the case. It would be a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah.
That was when I was a kid, I think. But, you know, you guys, like, you're kind of, you do a similar thing to as what the Freedom Fiends do. You do libertarian radio where you talk about tyranny and you talk about how politicians aren't good, whether they're left or right. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mm-hmm. absolutely bang on, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I'm absolutely bang on. Is that a thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely bang on. Smashing,
what are you
Michael.
Going
you
on?
On?
What are you so going weird? On a boot up there in Saskatchewan? Where are you from?
Well, we're from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Pretty much right in the middle.
In the middle of Kanuckistan.
Yeah, the windswept prairies.
Yeah. You're just like directly north, way north of me, right? Of Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah, you're in the state which, in fact, is home to my favorite cousin. So, you know, yeah, you've got a good company, even though you don't know them.
Yeah, Americans have a really strange opinion of Canadians because we don't really think of you as foreigners, like people from Mexico or France, but we think of you as kind of like America light or something. How do you feel about that?
Well, I can only politely say that we feel as though that's how you feel about us, and we're glad that you feel that you know us. You know,
that's,
in some way.
That's the Canadian way. Like, you guys are really, really, really angry about the tyranny of the government, of all the governments everywhere, and the spying and the taxing and all the things that we're mad about. You're really, really mad, but you're really polite about it. Is that indicative of – is that how a lot of Canadians are?
It's just kind of the culture, I think. You just grow up in a polite atmosphere and –
sure,
kinda,
you know, and you are told that there is an appropriate time to register your displeasure with those who would like to hear it.
Fill a form out and stand in line.
Speaking of registered guns, are you guys gun guys? Or you can't
we're,
say that. You
we're
don't
Canadians
say.
That talk about guns, which sounds like it probably well, is. We don't really. I don't think we should.
My significant other has a restricted firearms license. And so she went through the regular tests, and then she had to go through more tests, and now she can purchase a handgun. But when she does this, she has to be part of a range, and she has to submit her route from A to B whenever she wants to go to the range
wow.
with her gun.
That's horrid.
That's the gun laws up in Canada here.
Yeah, the gun laws here are basically. If I have enough money, I can go down to the hardware store and, you know, buy a semi-auto rifle that holds 30 rounds or a handgun, a sidearm that holds, you know, as many rounds as you can fit in a sidearm. And I can literally legally purchase it. I have to do a little background check, but then, you know, you put the money down on the counter. It takes about 20 minutes and then you could buy ammo and a holster right there. And if the store had no problem with it, you could put the holster on your belt, put the load the gun, put it in your holster, and openly carry it out of the store and walk around town with it. That's Wyoming.
Wow. Well, you know, Michael, we do actually have a way around everything that Ed just described. We actually do have a way around that. It's called going to an inner city school and, you know, talking to the right student. And we can get whatever we want. It's okay. I mean, there is a way where there's a will, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're okay.
I do have to mention that when the long gun registry came into effect, because previously it was just handguns.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this. Go ahead.
The lots of the law enforcement that it is to enforce that, it's what is it, game fish and hogs.
Yeah,
yeah, those guys, they actually openly said we're not gonna, you know, if you don't have your license, you know, whatever. And I know it's lots of stores in where I grew up in just a small town area, they would sell you ammunition without needing your card to show that you have the gun and it's registered and everything.
And didn't Saskatchewan have the lowest compliance in the registry of any of the provinces?
It was either here or Alberta.
I'm sure
it was here.
I'm looking at the big board here of the 16 stations that the Freedom Fiends are on, and one of them actually reaches a little bit into Canada. So you guys could never be on the radio in Canada, huh? And the Freedom Fiends could never be on a Canadian commercial station, huh?
No, but it sounds like we are, in fact, seeping into Canada via the gracious goodwill of you, Mr. Michael Dean, as we speak. To be quite frank, I'm flabbergasted, amazed.
We couldn't be on a radio station in there, but we are on a radio station that's seeping in there.
Yeah, it's KTGO in Tioga, North Dakota. And we looked at this before. I had to ask you what provinces this was leaking into or boldly transmitting into. But yeah, look at that link and tell me, what are those two big squares above North Dakota? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know
Canada. Yeah, the one on the left is Saskatchewan, and the one on the right is Manitoba. So
yeah,
that's quite a bit, actually, of Saskatchewan.
Yeah. We should just merge those two provinces into Saskatoba.
Saskatoba. So there's like a separatist movement there, isn't there, over in... Oh, we're going to have to go to sell some things before we come back and talk about Canadian sedition and people that want
to
leave.
We'll get to it.
They don't want to be governed by the government. They want their own government. Yeah. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends with Ed and Ethan.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh, yeah. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical show. You know, the reason Nima always says talk radio show is one time we had my dad on as a guest, my 91-year-old conservative Baptist patriotic dad, and he told us about America and back when things were good. And he said to Nima, did you know that Michael used to be in a rock musical group? And so now we always call rock groups, rock musical groups, and we call our show The Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And that's what we got here today. And Nima is out having a baby. Well, he's not. His wife is getting ready to. And he's spending his fourth anniversary with her today. And it's a beautiful thing. So our guests today are Ed and or Ethan, as I call them, from the Ed and Ethan podcast. And I do kind of collectivize them, even though they are anything but collectivists. They hate collectivism as much as good Americans like the Freedom Fiends. And they are Canadian. But I think of them as Ed and or Ethan. Like last night I was chatting with them getting ready for this show via Instant Messenger, Encrypted Pigeon, which people should go and I'll put in the show notes today how to set up encrypted NSA proof or whatever your country's proof version of whatever your NSA is. What is your NSA there, Ed and Ethan? What do you call it?
Well, we actually have two. We've got CSIS, that's our Secret Service kind of thing, and then we've got CSEC, which is Canadian Security Establishment Canada. Doesn't even sound nice.
But what's interesting is they can't spy on us though. So the NSA spies on us anyway. So.
Right.
Well, they probably
even though they probably do.
They probably get the information. They probably trade information on their countrymen from our NSA.
Well,
it's not
yeah,
my
that's,
NSA.
That's essentially
I don't want to say our NSA. It's not my NSA.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't vote for it. So, yeah.
And you get an NSA. You get an NSA. You get an NSA.
Obama going to buy me an NSA phone. Yeah. So, so I kind of think of you guys as the same person. Like, I chatted with one of you for about a half hour last night on Instant Message. And when I was done, I got off and I was like, I don't even know if that was Ed or Ethan. It was, I have no idea. So you're Canadian. Yeah. Americans don't know a lot about Canadians. They think that you're all socialist, French speaking, you know, nanny staters. Are you guys French? Do you speak French?
Oh, God.
No.
No. No, definitely not, Michael.
You just endeared yourself to a lot of our fans. Not that, you know, not there's anything wrong with speaking French, but America thinks of French as like everything I just said about Canadians, but times 10. Plus, they dropped their rifles and ran away during World War II. At least most of them did, except for like the brave resistance, which were pretty cool. They were basically a militia that was going around killing Nazis. So speaking of sedition, you guys have – there's like a – well, it's not your separatist movement, but you have a long-going Quebecois – I don't know. Tell us about it. What do you got there?
Oh, right. Yeah. You're referring to the Parti Québécois in Quebec.
Wait, you just spoke French. You said you didn't speak French.
Well, you know, listen, we it's required in public schools here that people are educated in French with one provincial exception. One province doesn't teach its kids French.
Oh, really?
That's Alberta.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Huh. I just remember being force-fed French in school.
Well, don't signs have to be in two languages there, in French and English?
Well, anything that's government run, they have to have federal. Yes, federal run. It has to be both languages. And any federal worker, I think, that works with the public has to speak both languages. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of funny because you can walk into a federal government building and you don't need to speak a word of French, and you can demand that you be served in French. and then when you look at them all confused when they're telling you, you know, everything you need to know in French, and they switch to English because clearly you don't understand. And you say, no, François, en français, please.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Is that a way to get out of a traffic ticket there?
Huh. I haven't even thought of that. You know what? I got to try that.
I think you should videotape it though when you do it. Yeah. So, what's up with Quebec?
Okay. So in Quebec, the Parti Québécois is the separatist party in Quebec. So there's a provincial party that basically has a part of its platform is the separation of the province from the rest of Canada.
There was two times they tried this and they both lost. Which was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, and also one of the referendums that we had on Quebec separation led to what's called the Clarity Act, which is a federal piece of legislation that is anything but clear. but I mean, basically right now where it stands is the separatist movement is mainly for show. I mean, it's to appeal to xenophobia, these people who want to identify as, you know, French-Canadian over being an Anglophone. They just want to essentially differentiate themselves, and that's what it boils down to. I mean, there is no real separatist movement.
Have they been violent in the past?
They have. Yeah, the FLQ.
They kidnapped a guy, I think.
All right, we'll have more on French politics and how they relate to American liberty when we get back here on the Freedom Fiends.
They're worms.
They're worms.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah, this is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical show. The talk radio show, the Freedom Fiends, coming to you on your radio or internets. Nima Vedati is out on paternity leave, and filling in for him today, we have Ed and or Ethan from the Ed and Ethan podcast, which you can search and find by going to... You can search Ed and Ethan on Google. They're the first thing that come up, even though they're Canadian. Or you can search, you can type in into your internet browser, you can type http://www.edandethan.com www.edandethan.com. I remember that ads used to say that, basically. It was pretty funny. So we were talking about Canadian separatists, and I was going to talk about the fact that I am, by derivation, my lineage is English, French-Canadian, and Irish, which is, okay, my English side, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather fought in the American Revolution on the American side. And then, you know, French-Canadian, they're separatists. And then, you know, the Irish have they've had a long-running separatist movement. So apparently, like, not liking the government is in my blood. But I'm not a violent guy. I just –
darn government.
I just want to yell at the government until it goes away. And I actually think that's possible if you convince enough other people to, like, stop doing everything – that supports stupidity. You know, stop going, yeah, mm-hmm. It's good when my local police get a tank. I feel safer. That's stupid. You should tell all your neighbors, no, you don't need a tank, man. This isn't a war zone. Don't make it into one. So, Ed and or Ethan, you were talking about the Quebecois and the language laws there and the silliness, the nanny statism of Canada. Go. Yeah.
go. Well, there's, you know, I mean, it gets worse. We were talking about the FLQ and there's a violent crisis there. They actually did
martial law.
Yeah, this was a violent organization that even captured two government officials at one point. They kidnapped mm-hmm. them. It was very exciting.
Did they tickle them since they're Canadian instead of torture them? They were very polite.
No, I think did they kill them? I think they killed them, didn't they?
I can't remember. I know
martial law was instituted, which was pretty crazy, and the troops in the streets and stuff like that. And this was like in the late 70s, I think. Yeah, but since then, they've been more peaceful for the most part.
Well, but it has been no less ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. So we get into language laws. We had somebody on our show from Quebec recently. His name was Xavier Menard, and he's a really cool young guy, an entrepreneur. And he was starting up this I think it was a graphics design company,
what it was,
right?
Yep.
And he called it WellArc, which, believe it or not, was actually even derived of two French words. But in Quebec, it's the second most populous province in Canada. They have these laws where bureaucrats look at new business names and they say, well, no, that sounds too English.
Man.
It's too English. We want to preserve the French language here.
They have death panels for naming things, basically.
Essentially.
I mean, when you get right down to it,
it's totally subjective, right?
Yeah, it is. It's completely subjective, and it's not even just small businesses that are the subjects of these rules. They even wanted to change the name of Walmart to sounds too English, you know. They wanted to change it to something like Le Magasin Walmart, right? Because it was, you know, that sounds
what
more
does that
French
mean?
And that helps to preserve
the Walmart magazine.
No, it means like the Walmart store or something. Like it's ridiculous because it's an attempt to force the preservation of the French language.
Yep.
Right.
That's
so
exactly what's
this
going
has
on.
Made, you know, Quebec the laughing stock of Canada, essentially. I mean, this among other sort of social engineering moves, but it gets ridiculous right down to the point where you have language police walking into retail stores saying, you know, listen, some of these products that you're selling, the English lettering on the ingredients list is not smaller than the French lettering. So you need to have it altered or removed, that kind of thing. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's basically – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that if you're becoming a doctor, trying to get your doctor license in Quebec, and you have to be able to speak not just French, it has to be Quebecois French.
Yeah.
So there's certain slangs that are in there. And I was reading this article once, this guy who he was a genius, and he said that it was harder to do the language law, the language test to be a doctor than it was to do the test to be a doctor.
Wow.
And he failed it. He failed it. So he had to go out of province. Because he couldn't speak correct,
yeah,
proper.
And see, I think that problems like this come up because people want governments. They believe in this left-right paradigm, which you have there in Canada as well as here in America. They believe, well, you got to vote for the lesser of two evil, and it just leads to evil. And a lot of times, evil can come in the form of jackbooted thugs with balaclavas pointing assault rifles at you. But it can also come in the form of, you know, a pencil-necked bureaucrat with a clipboard saying, well, I really think that this needs to be more French. And I'm sure that a lot of American listeners are just agreeing with you, going, this is ridiculous. But some of those American listeners would probably also think that America needs laws that make, you know, English the official language, and you can't have things, you know, they don't like the idea of things being in Spanish and English. I don't like the idea of laws making things in Spanish and English, but I really think that the market can take care of all of this. For instance, instead of requiring that something be in French and English in Canada or Spanish and English in California, instead of making that a law, I mean, there are smartphone apps that you can take a picture of text and it'll instantly translate it now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's death by a million paper cuts is what it is.
Mm. Well, I mean, the language situation that we have here in Canada and specifically in the province of Quebec is really a great demonstration of what the free market could do and is trying to do and how the government is slowing it down, right? Because the free market is trying to facilitate communication between individuals, right? By finding a common language, by finding common cultural references. But the government's getting in the way saying, no, we want to cling to nostalgia. We want to keep things the way they are rather than change and move into the future because it's a scary place, that future.
Yeah,
right?
It's so Canadian conservatism, basically.
Xenophobia.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown.
Scared
of other cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of Americans who are conservative fiscally, I think that they're not really conservatives, and they use the word conservative, but they don't deserve that name, or they don't really earn that name because they're not conservative about everything, first of all, because they still want to have a giant police force to, you know, break in the doors of people that smoke a joint, or they want to have an endless overseas empire military force that comes home and becomes the police force that knocks in your door to enforce Obamacare and take your guns. And they don't see that. They don't see the bigger picture of it, of like enforcing social constraints with laws leads to those laws being used against you because those laws are still there when the next guy gets into office who disagrees with your vision of America or of Canada or of the future or of the world.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, look, when you get right down to it, you gotta – if you're trying to figure out how the world should operate, I mean, from my perspective, it's pretty simple. I don't have a right to tell anybody else how it is they gotta live. I don't have that right. I just don't understand where you can morally derive that right from. I understand why people want it because you want the world to operate a certain way that's kind of copacetic with your view of how things should work, right? But you know, if you say, look, I don't think people should use heroin. I mean, you got two choices, right? Well, either one, you can say, I want to convince you that using heroin is bad or something like that. Or you can say, I'm going to send somebody to beat you up and take your heroin away and throw you in a cage, that kind of thing. I think there's a very clear moral choice there. And even though it might not be satisfactory to you in the moment because you're not immediately forcibly preventing somebody from using heroin, just because it doesn't meet your immediate needs doesn't mean it's immoral. It just means you've got to find a better way to do it, right? I don't think usurping other people's rights is the way to do that.
Yeah, when Ron Paul was asked, you know, Fox News tried to kick him out, basically, and make him look bad. Mm-hmm. The first question in the Fox News debate with him, you know, Fox News, who claimed to be conservative, and a lot of conservatives love Fox News, even though 7% of it is owned by a Saudi prince, which most Fox News listeners wouldn't want to know, but it's true. But Fox News, you know, their first question to him in the debate was, so do you want to legalize heroin? And his answer was basically like, you know, I'm a doctor. I've seen the damage that drugs do, but the war on drugs does more damage. And outlawing something like this doesn't make people not do it. You know, if heroin were legalized tomorrow, would you take it? And everybody's like, no, you know, so that was a great conservative answer. And I think he is like the one. I don't like to, you know, hold up politicians as great men, but he's the only guy in America that's ever actually abided by the Constitution. Do you guys have a Ron Paul in Canada?
No.
Not as far as we know.
I mean, no. We have Ron Paul. we get a video of him up here. we look out the window into the frozen waste and say, well, we can settle down to a Ron Paul video at least. That's all.
You don't have a Ron Paul member of parliament there, like the one good man holding up the lantern looking for truth in politics.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of a stretch. I mean, I don't know if you can find anybody good in parliament. No. I mean, I don't know. Look, it's we don't have we have people up here who are public figures who like to espouse libertarian positions, free market ideals. But I mean, you get right down to it. No, we don't have anybody with that kind of persuasive star power.
And you know, there might not be that big of a platform or an audience for it quite yet either.
So you have you have Rand Pauls, but no Ron Pauls.
Oh. I don't even know sadly, if we even have that.
Yeah, no, we do have a few.
Yeah,
well,
yes.
Well, our finance minister was educated in the Chicago School of Finance and Economics.
I thought I read that our prime minister actually read Atlas Shrugged and was a fan of
Yeah, but
Iron
a prime
Man.
Minister has never even
Yeah,
had
but
a
you know, Atlas Shrugged is is not my kind of libertarianism. It's kind of I like that the book exists. It's influenced a lot of people, but it kind of influences this kind of like really selfish billionaire Mr. Burns on The Simpsons kind of libertarianism, I think.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I mean, Atlas Shrugged is and really anything written by Ayn Rand is. I think that people like to kind of run with that characterization of corporations and private individuals.
Well, but it's more Ayn Rand, her stuff. I mean, she does have moral lessons in there, but it's mainly economic lessons. It basically seems like the people in there want no laws because they want to operate big business without paying taxes, which I'm fine with, you know, if they're ethical. But she doesn't have as much or isn't perceived as having as much about the moral imperative of not treading on others. You know, it seems all about me. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and it almost kind of seems like no, I agree, Michael. And it kind of seems that it's almost like they collectivize themselves, like we're the Randians, you know. The great people, the great person, Iron Man, whatever.
It's too bad we're gonna hit a break because I don't agree. I don't agree with that.
We'll be back with more of Canadians fighting on the Freedom Fiends when we come back from this trip to the market. For some
not my buddy, Fwen.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
All right. This is the Freedom Fiends talk radio show on the Genesis Communications Network. And this is Mr. Michael Dean. Mr. Nima Vadati is out on paternity leave, about to have a kid. Might be today, might be tomorrow. We don't know yet. But our co-hosts are Ed and or Ethan from the Ed and Ethan podcast, which you can go to edandethan.com and check out. And we were talking about nanny laws and how they're not just for Americans anymore. And apparently Canadians have them, too. We're talking about language. And, you know, they have the same things there of people trying to force people into speaking certain ways because they remember back when Canada was good and they want to keep it that way. And we, you know, I've heard this thing about language, and I think it's a really good example of the free market in action, of the market in action. And I think that you can't stop it, you can't change it, you can't force it with laws. I've heard that the difference between a dialect and a language, because sometimes that's kind of fuzzy, a language is a dialect with an army. What do you think about that, Ed and Ethan?
A language is a dialect with an army. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, well, I don't know. When I think of government or rather social engineering attempts to change the language scape of some various place, I think of Esperanto, right? Because that kind of just failed miserably.
What's this?
It's a synthetic language that so some linguist looked at all the rules of the different languages and said some make sense, some don't, and tried to make an international language that made more sense syntactically, and it didn't really catch on. And
it was a perfect example of central planning that failed.
Yeah, and Hitler was very against it, and he tried to pass laws that were backed by an army against it. But that's not why it failed, because there are still about 20 or 30 Esperanto speakers around the world, including the singer in The Police. What was that guy's name? Bing? Sting. Sting sings. He sings when he goes EO 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 is Esperanto for peace and brotherhood. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that, because I don't speak Esperanto like most people on the planet.
Like most normal, good, decent, God-fearing people. Yeah.
It does seem like that English is kind of the free markets language.
Yeah, English is the fourth most common language in the world, but it is by far the most common second language. Most people in the world can speak a little English. When I was going to Germany with my band in 1990, I got some language tapes for children from the library and tried to learn some German. And when I got there and tried to use it, people laughed at me and then just started speaking better English than I did, you know. Now, France is a little different. In France, a lot of people will pretend they don't speak English until you try to speak some childish, wrong French. And then they'll like, they'll think, well, at least he's trying. And then they'll speak pretty good English with you.
Mm. Yeah, I guess actually here in Quebec, the situation is slightly different. Because if you speak bad French when you walk into a store,
they'll shoot of you. Xenophobia, they'll shoot you.
Hey, almost. You walk into a store and you say, oh, bonjour, right? And they'll look at you and go, hello. You get that kind of a treatment. English is kind of the free market language because English speaking countries have been ahead on the free market curve. But you look at, right now, what's one of the big topics of discussion when it comes to learning languages? Hey, you know what? Better pick up some Cantonese or Mandarin.
Because look
at what's happening in China, which to me says, hey, look at what's happening in the areas of the world where commerce is really picking up. You'd better start to learn how to communicate with them. And that's a free mm-hmm. market expression of how language develops. Up here in Canada and Quebec, you've got the opposite, right? Hey, look, this money sink of a province. By the way, Quebec is dependent on the rest of Canada paying it billions of dollars mm-hmm. in transfer payments to keep their, horrifyingly inefficient economy going. You know, here, It's we got to force everybody to be able to speak French because we're not expressing value in the market.
It's always been kind of hilarious to me that Americans are so like, speak English or die. When England, like we fought England to separate from them and have nothing to do with them. But I guess like people clung to the language. And we'll be back in hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Ed and Ethan filling in, and we'll be taking some phone calls and talking about Bitcoin and what it means for America and Canada and the world and liberty here on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Show on Genesis Communications Network.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right, this is Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And we're broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And our guest today, filling in for Nima Vidati, who's out having a baby or something, or his wife is, or getting ready to, or having his anniversary right before she has a baby, I'm not really sure. We have Ed and or Ethan of the Ed and Ethan podcast, and they're from Saskatchewan, Canada, and they are also broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of Kanuckistan. And how you doing there, Ed and or Ethan?
Good, good. I was going to say that we are broadcasting live from an igloo. Where we get pizza delivered and it's frozen.
Does it come via elk sled?
Moose, actually.
Yeah, moose. Yeah, is typically better.
Yep. Yeah, with little beavers too in the front.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Yeah, and we're gonna give out the call in number here because the second hour of the Fiends we often have callers. Our number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. And since we do broadcast into about 10 miles of Canada, or do you use kilometers? I don't know. What do you use there?
Well, I don't know. We do use kilometers on the highway, so
yeah, officially.
How would you?
If you're dealing with farmers, though, we use miles.
How would you? How would you dial a number in America from Canada?
Oh well, if it's a 1-800 number, you just dial 1, then 800, then the number.
It's not a 1-800 number. It's 1-855-660-4261.
It's the same way you guys would.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Okay. Yeah, I can call you guys. I should have gotten your number. We should chat on the phone sometime. It's just like being there. That's what they tell me on the ads. So we're going to talk about Bitcoin. We're also going to talk about, Bitcoin. You guys recently got rich in Bitcoin. I was talking about how I didn't get in quick enough, and then I did. Then I lost my password, and I've become the cautionary example for not losing your password. But you guys are rich, and you're going to buy all new equipment. And you recently interviewed some libertarian billionaire. Who was it, and what did he say about Bitcoin?
I don't know if he's a billionaire, but it's Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff is somebody whom we respect a great deal. Mm-hmm. We talked to him about Bitcoin on our show. You can check it out, of course, at ednathan.com. But the
Peter's famous for predicting the housing crisis in 2003, I think.
On Peter Schiff, or rather on YouTube there, it's Peter Schiff was right. He's he's basically there getting laughed off of news panels and all this stuff about, he's saying the housing bubble is going to burst. Everybody's laughing at him. No. This is a new era of prosperity.
So wait, is that why he's rich? Because he predicted that and now people trust his predictions? Because I've been saying for decades the government is spying on your phone calls. And for about a decade, I've been saying the government's reading all your email. And people have been calling me crazy. But now it's reported on the mainstream news as true. And, the same people who called me crazy for it now just say, well, if you got nothing to hide, it doesn't matter.
and you're not rich yet, Michael, for this prediction?
No.
Really? Well, somebody messed up somewhere, I think, obviously, if you're not, swimming in cash. So Peter is, as I say, somebody that we respect a great deal, but he opposes Bitcoin fundamentally. He thinks it's flawed and that it will drop to zero value at some point because it has no intrinsic value. Yeah, we disagree with him on that, so we had him on the show. We were going to have him on for a few minutes to talk, turned into an entire segment,
Yeah, he hates fiat currencies as much as we do, but he loves Bitcoin, he loves gold and silver. We love gold and silver, too.
Oh, yeah.
We just love gold. We just
and
love
you
Bitcoin
can get gold by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the Midas Resources link over on the right. So go on.
Yeah, it's a good thing to keep in mind because gold and silver are great ways to preserve your
value.
Yeah. Absolutely, but in our view, Bitcoin is a technological revolution. It changes the way that people can approach finance, not only just in North America but everywhere.
Yeah, and Michael, you said that you're too late. We would believe that this is still the beginning of the Bitcoin revolution, so you can still buy some Bitcoin cheap. Now, even
cheap,
though that
for
it's
only
not,
$1,200 a unit when it was about $12 about a year ago. Yeah.
Well, today it's actually taken a little bit of a dive, below 1,000 now, the average price. So,
but I mean, that's kind of a misnomer it's $1,200 or $900 or whatever. It's misleading to call a Bitcoin, believe it or not. It's like saying that, a kilogram of gold is too expensive or a ton of gold is too expensive.
Well, Ian Freeman thinks Bitcoin is going to go up to $1 million per Bitcoin. People think that's crazy, but he's been saying that since Bitcoin was $1, and people thought it was crazy to say it would go up to $1,000, and it recently did. Mm. Yeah.
Sure. One of the guys who managed one of the largest hedge funds in London recently said, he's Raoul Powell. He said, Bitcoin is going to go to $1 million. If it does, and I don't doubt that it could, I mean, it's because of all of the fundamental reasons that people want an efficient transactional currency. They want something that can hold wealth over the long term, that can be easily sent and received. I mean, Bitcoin meets all of the requirements of a money.
And it can't be controlled by a central person, which Bitcoin has a decentralized network that audits the transactions. So you can't just automatically just print more money.
Yeah.
In one day, what is it? The all the Bitcoin that are out there, there's as much Bitcoin as there is as the amount of money the Federal Reserve prints in like 2 hours, or something.
my wife and I have a hedge fund. It's a jar that we keep all of our change in that says hedge fund, and we're going to save up and buy some hedgehogs. So speaking
of, is your hedge fund keeping up with inflation?
It is because the cost of hedgehogs is going down because they're being bred, which is the free money. People say like, we need to conserve this animal. And I say, no, we need to hunt this animal. Then people will breed them to hunt, or we need to eat them. Then people will, that's how you protect animals. I really think it is.
Right.
That sounds crazy to most liberals, but a lot of conservatives.
What exactly is more endangered, right? Pick any endangered species off the list and compare it to dogs that we've bred and kept domestically. Mm. I mean,
chickens that we've raised to eat. And, chickens are everywhere all over the world because they're good. They're easy to grow and they're easy to cook and they taste good. And, the same thing could probably be true of white rhinos or bison. Actually, there's somebody growing bison in Wyoming for bison burgers. And, we're kind of the cutting edge of that. Do you have bison burger farms up there in Canada?
We do. Yeah, we do. Yeah. I know of a couple.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to
Speaking of money, I grew up near the Canadian border in upstate New York, and we used to get a lot of Canadian change, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters in our change. And we called it funny money because back then it wasn't worth very much. And that's recently changed to where it's worth more than American money. And what did you used to say about that TV show about the millionaires?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was in high school, Canadian money was trading with American money at about, 67 cents or something. So we called it not who wants to be a millionaire. We called it who wants $672,000, which was pretty good, I thought.
The Canadian version of it, because your Canadian version of it, they gave $1 million Canadian, right?
Michael, though, is it our dollars going up or is it the U.S. dollar going down?
I think it's more, it's a little of both, but more of the latter. And, I kind of look at the American economy and America's place in the world kind of like that old movie Sunset Boulevard. It's about the faded starlet who, was the biggest star in the world in the silent pictures. And then the talkies came along and she didn't get hired as much. And she's living in this broke down mansion in L.A. that's, it used to be the best building in the city. And now it's in disrepair and she's wearing furs that are kind of falling apart. And she kills somebody and she's so delusional that she thinks she's still a starlet. And when she comes down the stairs to be arrested and there's news cameras there, she says, "I'm ready for my close up, darling." And that's kind of how I look at the American economy. And, people get upset when I say that. Americans get upset when I say that, but they're in denial because anything, everything that used to be great about America isn't great so much anymore. That's kind of the point of that beginning episode of The Newsroom. Have you ever seen that show, The Newsroom?
Oh, I've seen clips from it. That's all.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen it, but I have it on my list, though, to watch.
It's really good. And people, Americans talk about getting back to when America was great. I don't look to the past. I look to the future, which is, I guess, something conservatives would say I share in common with progressives. But my way of getting there and what my future looks like isn't the progressives. The progressives basically want, I think a good example would be that movie Demolition Man, where the future is, everyone's a 40-year-old virgin singing, "I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener," and being fined if they curse. And, and the police don't even have guns. So because guns are bad, no one should have guns. Whereas my vision of the future is let things happen with the market. And I think that greatness will come again to not just America, but to the world. And the only thing preventing that is governments and people backing the idea of laws being needed. There's a little clip I want to play that's let me find it here. It's some Americans complaining about marijuana being legal. And it's really ridiculous to me. It's really hilarious. This is in Washington State, where there's some people who don't want an marijuana processing plant in their town. And they say it'll cause crime. And it's like, it won't cause crime. It's legal, man. Okay. Here we go.
Feel like they're fighting an uphill battle against pot. They are worried a huge marijuana processing facility could wind up in the middle of Redmond Ridge. Steve Kiggins has more.
I spent all day out here and I didn't meet any neighbors who could even support putting a giant pot business into this neighborhood. In fact, everybody that I've spoken to said that a legal pot business has no business being so close to their kids or their schools. They also worry that new business could bring in a rise in crime rates and lower their property values.
Nobody thinks this is a good idea.
Call it an emergency community meeting.
If this could happen here, It could happen anywhere in unincorporated King County.
Dozens of concerned Redmond Ridge residents skipped the shopping this Black Friday to plan their fight against King County's proposed pot zoning ordinance.
All I'm saying is find some remote area where it does not impact the neighborhoods.
Thousands of families live in this section of unincorporated King County, and the gray area on this map shows where new pot businesses could soon be opening.
The small seed of salmonella during a Thanksgiving dinner and dropping it in everybody's plate. This is what it's asking for. It's asking for poisoning people and their lives.
It may be in unincorporated county, but it's not less populated. It's not a farmland.
Red Ridge Farm.
I love that they said we couldn't find anybody who supported this. And the two people they put on are immigrants from India who are trying to blend in with America by being what they think is American, which is hating what they're told to hate. That's ridiculous. That's so non-free market, man. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Ed and Ethan after this trip to the actual market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Show, and the call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. And today, Mr. Nima Vidati is out making babies or delivering babies or doing something with a baby. So filling in, we have Ed and Ethan. And Ed and Ethan are from Canada. They're from the Ed and Ethan podcast, and they're as angry about tyranny as Americans are, but they're really, really, really polite about it. Oh, and we have a caller. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller. What's your name?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, this is John. I'm a Democrat, and I just say I gotta... you guys need to stop bashing Obama and his Obamacare. the healthcare.gov website, it's working now. You should have no problem when you go on the website.
I went to it last night so I could make fun of the fact that it was probably slow and it was down.
Well, I mean, they do keep it down for maintenance at some times, but you know what? 95% of people that log on to the website now.
How old are you, John?
I'm 23.
Do you still live with your parents?
No.
Okay. Do you work for a living?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think that it's all right to make people buy healthcare? And didn't you hear these Canadians talking about how it destroyed their country?
Because yeah, we're kind of suffering through it.
Healthcare is a fundamental human right. We all deserve it, and we all deserve the right to be seen by a doctor and to be able to be
it was why should I pay for yours?
These insurance companies, they're just it's
see the thing about people unfair. Who want Obamacare is they say that insurance companies are the worst thing in the world and they're horrible and they're bad evil corporations. Oh, but you want all of us to sign up with these bad evil corporations. That doesn't make sense.
Hold on, Michael. I guess, John, you said something about healthcare is a fundamental human right, mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious if you are in favor of socializing the grocery stores so that we all have access to free food.
No. I mean,
well, why not? I mean, isn't food important? I mean, I rather like food. I kind of want it every day. In fact, it's kind of like an addiction.
Well, I mean, there are poor people in this country that are provided food through food stamps, and I believe that is a right. You know, we live in a prosperous country and everyone should be able to provide for everyone. And, those programs for people that need it are
okay.
Available.
You sound to me like you're in your pajamas in a mental institution somewhere. Thank you for your call, John. Goodbye. All right. Ed and Ethan, go ahead, man. I'm so sick of debating with people who are wrong. You know, a lot of people are wrong and that's not my fault. So,
well, it's certainly not your fault, Michael. But, yeah, I mean, you know, this is derived of this idea that everybody's got a right to their preference, right? I would like to have health care at the drop of a hat. I would like to have food whenever I want it. I would like to have a beachfront property, I guess. And
what's fair?
Yeah, what's fair? And what? When can you start forcing other people to pay for everything that you want? I mean, you get right down to it. You could define almost anything that improves your life as a fundamental human right, and I certainly don't agree with that. I think it is your right to pursue whatever you want, not to force others to deliver it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the poor in the United States and in Canada are pretty well off when you compare it to poor people in, say, you know, Africa.
Oh, sure.
We've
got poverty,
right?
That people all over the world aspire to. I mean, I'm serious, absolutely 110% serious. You look at some of the most developed places around the world where people have, you know, tough situations where maybe not all of their
dollar a day, they live on a dollar a day type of thing.
Well, that's undeveloped, right? But I was just thinking, okay. Like here in Canada, you've got poor people. Again, people aspire to that sort of poverty in other places in the world. I don't know where you draw the line where you start saying, well, it's for those people that we have to start providing, that we have to start stealing from others to provide for their wants and needs. But for other people, you know, that they already have enough. Like, where do you draw that line? It seems very subjective to me.
Yeah. I just want to be left alone, man. Is that a common thing with you guys there too in Canada?
Oh, man.
Well, when you get out into the country, people have, it seems to me that for the most part, people have a more independentness to them. So they kind of see the government as, you know, a far away and not supporting their needs in a sense. But when you get into the city, you have the same type of nanny state liberals that are rah-rah the state and help. I want to steal money from everybody to help pay for the people who are in the need food shelter. They need the food shelter, but I won't actually go to the food shelter myself and you know help them.
Oh, like the food bank or
the
something.
Food bank, yeah. Food shelter, yeah. That doesn't make any
food
sense.
Food shelter sounds great.
Food shelter. I'll meet you at the food shelter, eh? It's the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back, and the phone number is 1-855-660-4261 on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Thank you.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Freedom Fiends, talk radio show, libertarian show, 50,000 billion watts of tyranny-busting power coming through your radio. Our call-in number is 1-855-660-4261, and our guest co-hosts today are Ed and Ethan. Ed and or Ethan of the Ed and or Ethan podcast from Canada. They are Canadians who hate tyranny and love liberty, and they're mad as heck. And they're not going to take it anymore, just like us Americans, but they're really, really polite about being really, really angry. And we have two callers here. Two callers here. The first caller we're going to take is Lusander from the socialist paradise of Detroit, Michigan. That's almost Canada. So, Lusander, are you there, Lusander?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Michael?
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. What's on your mind today, Lou Sander?
Well, I just wanted to say to my comrades from Canada, I'm of Canadian descent. Being in Detroit, it's really interesting. I know a number of Canadians, and many of them dote on their health care system, but many also come here to get health care services. Wasn't the Canadian government able to rewrite the laws of economics in Parliament and make a scarce resource abundant?
Man, I would say that doesn't speak very well of the Canadian healthcare system if people go to Detroit instead of that's kind of like going to Somalia, you know, from Israel or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, before anything else, Lusander, do you get a kind of an itch for just taking a swig of maple syrup every so often? I mean, I know it's hard to come by down in the States, but can you do you satisfy that need being of Canadian descent?
Yes, I do, as well as watching hockey, drinking beer, and just all the other good stuff that being Canadian is about.
A boot.
Right. Good one there, buddy. You know, this is a quality hoser on the line. Hey, so, I mean, oddly enough, strangely, I mean, the Canadian Parliament, the federal government, was not able to alter the laws of economics when they decided to centrally plan the Canadian healthcare system. In fact, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse over time. When healthcare started in Canada, universal healthcare was only to be used for catastrophic need, you know, like if your leg got caught in the combine or rather an auger, or if you had some, horrifying illness that just you could not afford to take care of. That's what it was meant for. Now you walk into a clinic and say, can you take care of my hangnail for me, please? Mm-hmm. And, like I said, it's just gone downhill since.
Fun fact about the founder of the Canadian healthcare, Mr. Tommy Douglas.
Yeah,
he wrote his final paper on the University of Manitoba, and he was for putting mentally handicapped people that didn't contribute to society. He was for putting them down.
Yeah.
So eugenics was a big movement then.
And yeah, eugenics drove the Planned Parenthood. The lady who started Planned Parenthood was very into not just putting down, killing people who weren't productive, but also people that were non-white. I mean, the whole history of Planned Parenthood is really kind of creepy. Fascistic, creepy Nazi. Yeah. So, Lusander, what else you got here before we go to these other calls?
I just got a kick out of those folks and wherever it was that were afraid that crime wave was going to come from legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
Pavements causing rain.
Yeah. Wet sidewalks cause rain. That's what they were thinking. And, thank you for your call, Lusander. You rock and keep listening. Worms. Say worms.
Worms, yes.
Yep, and
worms. Oh, worms.
The call-in number here on the Freedom Fiends, if you're listening live, which is Central U.S. time, noon to 2 p.m. here on Sunday, December the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2013. So just saying that, so in case you're listening, you know, when people are listening delayed later, they're not calling GCN and bothering them. But you bother us now. The number is 1-855-660-4261. And we're going to go to the phones. We got Daniel here in Sun City, California, who wants to talk about socialism. Hello, Daniel.
Howdy, Daniel.
Hi. Well, I'm fine. Good to talk to you all. And hello to the Canadian folk, too, eh?
Hey,
it's good to talk to you, Derry.
Hey.
What's on your mind, Daniel?
I love the accent, actually. Well, two things. First, I wanted to gently and in a Canadian, gentle, polite way, call you to task for the way you treated the liberal caller, the socialist brainwashed person.
Okay.
At the end, you made fun of him and hung up, and that's what he would do if it was his show.
Yeah.
Liberals, that's how they always end an argument, by calling you a name and then running away.
I know. But, you know, there's different kinds of people, and I think that some people, you can get through to them about basic principles, like you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill people, you shouldn't beat people up, and you shouldn't allow that through a government. But some people defend the government like they're defending their family, and that guy did that. And those people, I don't want to say they're a different species, because that sounds like eugenics, but in my experience, you're just wasting your time when you talk to people who defend the government like they're defending their mother. And furthermore, that guy, I couldn't even get angry at him, man. He literally sounded to me like he was on, you know, very strong chemical straitjacket drugs given to him by an Obamacare hospital. I couldn't get anywhere with that, man. And, you know, there was just no conflict. It was kind of like, yeah, man.
I know the feeling.
We couldn't get pumped up either, Michael, because we're Canadian.
Yeah. He sounded like a Canadian on Thorazine to me.
Yeah, and I don't want to argue it. I just wanted to say that. But also, think about this. He was actually listening to your show. So if you alienate him, he won't listen anymore.
All right. I'm not going to apologize to him, but yeah, you had a good point.
Yeah.
I should have been nicer to the poor, deluded, mental patient Canadian on Thorazine that called in to, like, really lamely defend Obamacare. I couldn't even get a good argument in with him. He was just bleh.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So what do you think? How do you think the world should be run there, Daniel?
Well, we've talked before. I think that everything should be voluntary, and we don't need to use force for anything because it's wrong. It's not even whether it works or not.
Yeah.
Because people can say, well, Hitler made the trains run on time.
He made them run by killing people. Yeah, he made them run on time by killing people.
So, but to me, the problem that we're facing, and this is the way I approach, because I work for the government, the federal government, and there are plenty of socialists that I run into, and I plant little seeds whenever I can. But, like, I have a Free Talk Live t-shirt. I don't know if you guys have t-shirts. Maybe I'll get one of yours.
We have buttons. We don't have enough money to make t-shirts, because t-shirts cost, $7 each to make and $4 to ship.
Yeah.
We make buttons, which cost about 30 cents each to make. And, you know, basically, we sell 10 buttons for $10, and we make about $2 on that, which barely covers the time of waiting in line at the post office. But they're a lot cheaper, and they go a lot quicker than t-shirts. And people can go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says buttons. You can also make your own. You can also make your own T-shirt. Actually, one of the buttons is a picture of a pretty girl wearing a Freedom Fiends T-shirt. It's a girl in Croatia who's a fan of ours who made her own T-shirt. We encourage people to make their own T-shirts. We'd even encourage people to make Freedom Fiends T-shirts, sell them, and not give us the money. We'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I know. You guys are cool that way. Well, the way I approach it, and maybe you can incorporate this in your own way, is socialism isn't something real. Socialism is the bait that fascists use. And so it's not something that they can really deliver, because you can't make, certainly government can't make something out of nothing. It's got to steal 10 times what they give out. If they think Joe, or whatever the caller's name was, if he needs health care, if he needs $1,000, they've got to steal about $10,000 to cover all their...
Yeah, and, you know, people conflate socialism and communism, and I think that's a good thing, because I think that they're the same thing, but different lines on a continuum. You know, socialism is a path to communism. It's kind of communism light.
Exactly.
And communism has failed around the world. The market tried communism and it failed. And the countries that still have it, you know, socialism leaning, going into communism. Like Argentina was at one time the third richest country in the world. And now it is a third world junkyard. I mean, I don't want to denigrate the good people of Argentina. There are good people everywhere. And I don't want to collectivize a country, because that's what socialists and communists do. But Argentina has killed itself by being socialist leading towards communism. And that's happening now with what's the country that recently like made retailers lower their prices at gunpoint?
Venezuela.
Yeah. It was Venezuela.
Yeah. And they're feeling in it. I mean, they are basically going to get no goods ever. You know, you could go get that flat screen at a quarter of the price because the government, the guy who's running for office is pointing guns for it to happen, but they're not going to get the next shipment of flat screens. That's the last bunch of flat screens they're going to get. And it's basically going to be like, you know, how in Cuba, all the cars are from 1950, which is because, or the 60s, which is because America imposed, you know, blockades on that. But basically that's Venezuela imposing their own blockades, because no retailer, you know, no wholesaler is going to ship them the next shipment of TVs if they're just going to be stolen.
Well, Michael, one of the granddaddies of Austrian school economic theory, those Ludwig von Mises, he explained very clearly, you know, any economy that abandons the observation of price signals, that is, any economy that tries to plan pricing, that tries to set pricing in defiance of the market, any economy that ignores those signals is absolutely doomed to failure.
Yep.
Because price signals are very important. They're information that tell you what's going on out in the economy and how you should react.
He predicted the fall of the Soviet Union like 70 years in advance.
You know,
he said price signals.
This is all very interesting and true, but I have something else to say about my rudeness to the liberal caller. I did not apologize. I want to even backtrack more. That guy sounded really polite, but he was a predator posing as a house pet. Basically, that guy wants to kill me. That guy sounded really polite, but he wants to authorize the government to hold guns to my head and murder me or throw me in a cage if I don't go along with his plans. So I don't have any problem with the fact that I was extremely rude to him. And I think that there are people that can be taught. I was a Democrat for many years. I voted Democrat. I voted for Nancy Pelosi when I lived in California. And I'm making amends daily by doing this show and condemning that kind of action. I owe the world an amends. I've more than made it up by doing this show. But
I'm glad.
And
thing. I know you have other callers, but communism, just because a country calls itself communism has never been achieved.
Yep.
They're really fascist in communist clothing.
Yep. Thank you for your call, Daniel. We're going to the market here. Rock on. Keep spreading the words.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com. Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And that music you're listening to is my band, Right Arm of Wyoming, which does most of the musical cues for the Freedom Fiends. You can go search Right Arm of Wyoming on the interwebs and go get it, download it all free. We're out of CDs. We pressed 1,000 and they're all gone. But the music lives on, because that's what we do here on the Freedom Fiends. We're into giving stuff away, but also selling it. We're into the market that's truly free, that has no patents, trademarks, or copyrights. But that's for a different show. And today we have Ed and Ethan from the Ed and Ethan podcast at edandethan.com filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati. And they want to talk to you about Bitcoin for this last segment here. What's the Bitcoin? Oh, yeah. I don't understand. I'm scared.
Bitcoin is the way to achieve freedom, I believe.
I think decentralized technologies are the way to achieve freedom. And Bitcoin is one of them. There are also other cryptocurrencies like Litecoin. There's also encryption. There's also virtual private networks. There's also printable things like guns. Basically anything that doesn't run through a government-controlled computer is something I like. Although everything runs through a government-controlled computer now, or at least is tapped into by one.
Yeah, sure. They're listening in.
Yeah, I don't know. I tend to agree with you. Basically, decentralization is cause we always talk about on the Ed and Ethan show here, we always talk about how you bring government closer and closer to the individual until it's right to the individual. That is, you know, everybody governs themselves, right, rather than appealing to monopolized.
Ian Freeman calls that, he says, I'm in favor of secession down to the last man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. And basically, when you look at technologies like Bitcoin, they are a decentralized form of communicating with other people on a topic of great importance, that is wealth, right? So if you move the government out of the way, if you remove that important topic from the government's control, well, the government loses a lot of its power over the individual, right?
So I think Bitcoin does help do that. It's basically like freedom. There's an app for that. There's actually a bunch of apps for that. Somebody asked me the difference between Bitcoin and Litecoin. Litecoin is another cryptocurrency. Bitcoin was the first proof of concept. It actually worked cryptocurrency. People have been talking about the idea of this since the 70s, but some guy that no one knows who he is that goes by the name Satoshi came up with this and made it work. And originally it was just traded for fun, and you know, somebody spent 30,000 Bitcoin on a pizza, I think was the first commercial exchange of one. And 30,000 Bitcoin would now be worth about $3.4 million. So it's gone up, and it's kind of become its own economy and its own ecosystem. But Litecoin, basically, the source code of Bitcoin is out there for anyone to check and vet and make sure that it's safe and doesn't have an NSA backdoor. And it does not, because a lot of computer nerds who are smarter than I have gone through it and looked at it. But you can also use that source code to make your own cryptocurrency. And that's what Litecoin is. So it basically uses the same architecture, but you can change things about it. Like, for instance, how quickly you can mine new coins, how many will be mined at the end before it's cut off, things like that. How many minutes between mining each one. So you can kind of tweak the aspects of it. Like somebody could make Fiendcoin, and I really hope someone will make Fiendcoin. And you don't owe us any, but if you'd like them promoted, make Fiendcoin and send me the first 1,000 of them, and then I'll be able to play with them, and I can really give a good review to Fiendcoin.
You know, I think Bitcoin, or rather Litecoin, is an interesting sort of technology as it operates alongside Bitcoin, because basically, you're right, you can take the Bitcoin source code, copy it, make your own cryptocurrency, and lots of people have done that. They're like in excess of 100 more of these things. But what really separates them is the economic development behind the currency, right? So Bitcoin has a thriving economy. Tens of thousands of merchants are engaged in accepting Bitcoin. Lots of people are using Bitcoin as a transactional device. Litecoin doesn't have that economic development behind it. And I think that it could have it. I really think that Litecoin could be a successful currency, but I'm not looking for its price. I'm looking for, are a number of merchants now coming on board? Is it becoming more actively a transactional device? And it's not there yet.
Yeah. And thank you for joining me, Ed and Ethan, from the Ed and Ethan podcast from Canada, our Liberty Brothers from the North. from the great cold north. And this has been Michael W. Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to you from my windowless bunker. We'll be back Wednesday with our podcast show with Nima, and then Saturday with Nima. And then Sunday, we have another fill-in wonderful person.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.